A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
What's up, Cougar Nation? It's Cougar Sports Saturday in the wee hours of the morning. And in fact, Mitch, let's do the honors as
we are in
the coaching box here. 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, the post game Coke Zero. You got the Diet Coke. Here we go.
Ah, yep. The fridge temperature at the refrigerator in the press box. I need to bring a thermometer next week.
It's next level.
Because it's literally the perfect temperature. It's right on the edge of freezing and not freezing. It's fantastic. So we are sipping some Cokes, breaking down.
Cheers.
Breaking down BYU. And there's a lot to break down in this win, 35-27 over South Florida. They're 4-0, back-to-back years, first time it's ever happened in program history. I think the biggest storyline, and let's start here, Mitch. Jaren Hall does not go. He does not dress. I think you kind of broke the story first with that picture of him sitting on the bench hanging out with Fessy Satake a couple hours before the game. What did you make of the Jaren Hall-Baylor-Romney thing as well as Baylor's performance in a win over South Florida?
Yeah, I thought the whole quarterback thing is, you know, if Jaren Hall can go, is it a situation where the coaches are sitting him out or does Jaren feel like he can play? I mean, I just think that there was a little bit of lack of transparency. And look, injuries are always a touchy thing with HIPAA laws and things like that. I get that. But I also think at the same time that, you know, sometimes with the fans, again, we're going to cover the team regardless. We talked about this before when they were going to name the quarterback, who's going to be the starter or whatnot. We're going to cover the team regardless. It's more about the fans, I think. And, you know, a lot of those fans, maybe some of them that were coming to the game tonight, over 60,000 fans, by the way, nice job, Cougar Nation. Some of them might have been coming to see Jaren Hall for the first time, and they didn't get that chance, and they found out late on Saturday. So, kind of a bummer.
That happened to you.
Yeah.
Personally. So your boys came with your dad, right?
Yes.
One of your boys was like, I can't wait to see Jaren Hall.
Yeah, that is true. My 6-year-old son, he was pretty excited to see Jaren. I said, bud, this was on Thursday. I said, there's a chance, buddy. You're probably not going to see him. Now, he could play, but clearly Baylor Romney said in the media availability after the game, post-game press conference, that around Wednesday is when he kind of knew he was going to be the starting quarterback. And, you know, it is what it is. BYU moves forward with Baylor Romney. And I'll say this, Baylor Romney was fantastic to open things up. I was thinking, man, this guy is trying to make a statement that he should be QB1 permanently. Now, I think it's Jaren, of course. Like, I don't
even like entertaining that idea of him moving to QB1 because it's not fair to compare the competition.
Right. I completely agree. And that is a completely fair point. But at the same time, he put up 305 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 INTs, and a QB rating of 222. That's a nice luxury to have coming off the bench.
Yeah, I will say, because I agree with everything you said, Baylor was outstanding. I think the most impressive part of his game today was he did not miss on any intermediate or deep throws. Yeah. His first throw of the game is a bomb to his bro. That's right on the money. I mean, if you want to critique it, maybe it's 6 inches too deep and Gunner can't run underneath it. But then he's got a long pass to Puka. There was a nice intermediate pass to Neal that he dropped, which was very uncharacteristic for Neal this year. I think that was his first drop. Then he has that touchdown pass to his brother Gunner in the third quarter that kind of creates that separation. So from a passing perspective, what he did tonight was better than any performance Jaren Hall has had this year in the air. But again, I still – it's the competition thing for me that it's just – it's hard to reconcile. And it's not Baylor's fault at all, because Baylor's never, other than the Boise State game in 2019, he has never gotten a crack against a great team, and you can't hold that against him. I just, before we say Baylor's better than Jaren, you know, the number one job is up for grabs, I agree with what Baylor said, Mitch, at the end, which was no one should lose a job to injury. And Jaren had played well.
Yeah, and, no question.
He wasn't great, so... I do want to touch on one more thing, because I was pretty bugged this week about the whole Jaren Hall thing, because just to give you a timeline, after the game against Arizona State, in which when the injury happened, we talked about this last week in the podcast, so we don't need to go into too much detail here, but we thought it could have been serious. And then he comes out in the postgame conference is like, no big deal. The wind got knocked out of me. You're like, what's going on here? Then on KSL's Unrivaled with Alex Carey and Scott Mitchell, he's like, no big deal. These guys, you know, it's like a joke. These guys, the big boys, Mitch. You know, it's football, big boys. You know, it's like, it's kind of a joke. And then he doesn't play. And, like, Aaron Roderick all week was like, I'm not going to touch this. You got to talk to Kalani. Kalani doesn't give any information. Like, no, there's no information. And I think what is kind of a bummer about this, you already touched on the fans part, which I agree. The other bummer is for Baylor. Baylor's parents were here. They obviously knew that he was going to start. But, like, there wasn't the anticipation and the buildup of Baylor Romney getting his first start since beating Liberty back in 2019, because it's been that long. Like, here's a guy who was fighting for the number one job. If he had left the school after losing to Jaren Hall, no one would have blamed him. He sticks around. Like, that's something to commend. This guy stuck around, and now he's starting. He's getting a chance to start. For BYU, we're top 15. Like, this should have been a celebrated story. And instead, we're talking about this crap about who knows what's going on. We don't know what's going on, because it's like, he said, she said, you know, we're not going to discuss it. But, you know, it's stupid. Like, just be real. And you don't even have to tell us if he's injured or not. Just say, you know, he was banged up and we wanted to move on with Baylor. Like, yeah. It's frustrating, because we're talking about this when we shouldn't be talking about it. Instead, we should be talking about 4-0, Baylor Romney, great game, two wide receivers breaking 100 yards. We're talking about this crap. It's just frustrating, man.
Well, and I think it's a storyline. Keep in mind, too, for those listening, again, if you're on also Twitter Spaces, this is Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. We're trying out the Twitter Spaces for the first time. All of you listening in, appreciate all of you. And if you're listening on a podcast, appreciate you too. Download the Cougar Sports Saturday podcast feed on kslsports.com and subscribe. Also, Cougar Tracks as well. But, you know, we don't go to practices anymore. It's all on Zoom, so it's all virtual. We don't get a
really. This would have flown under the radar.
Right. Yeah. Because before, when we would go to practices, we'd see it in person, and we'd see these players. We'd see the personnel coming off the field. So you kind of just get a better pulse day in, day out when you've got the boots on the ground. And this is a storyline going forward, because how long could Jaren be out? It's never been disclosed exactly what the injury will be. You can obviously read between the lines in terms of, you know, he fell hard on the ground. So you obviously look probably at the chest region, things like that. You know, but the nice luxury for BYU, though, Matt, at the end of the day, is that Baylor Romney is one heck of a quarterback. I slept on this guy. I'll tell you what. Credit.
You did sleep on this guy.
I did. I 100% did, and I will take my L. I mean, I always thought he's solid, but I'll tell you what. I underestimated that arm talent. He was lights out. That pass that he had to Gunner Romney, his brother, that was a big-time throw. That was
best throw of the year.
Those were the type of throws we saw last year all the time from a number two overall NFL draft pick. That was an incredible throw. I thought that Baylor Romney's presence in the offense was top-notch. And again, it's one against one of the worst defenses in college football. I get that. But he is a cool, calm customer like he described. That's what he described. He's going to put the ball in the hands of the playmakers, and he did that. We saw BYU's playmakers take off with Gunnar Romney getting five catches for 119 yards. Puka Nacua, four catches, 102. Tyler Allgeier, 15 carries, 81 yards. He put the ball in the playmakers' hands. BYU didn't cough up the football, and they come away with the victory. Now, it got a little bit closer than I think a lot of people would have liked, but I never felt at any point, Matt, that the game was in doubt. I just thought that, man, BYU is letting this thing get a little bit closer than it needs to be.
Well, on that point, Mitch, the defense was not good tonight.
And no, it was not.
It's the most important thing to remember here is this defense is we're down to the two deep, basically, at this point. Like, there were so many key players not playing. Not having Atunaisa Mahe was a big deal.
And Tyler Batty, too.
And Tyler Batty. But Mahe, I think, really affected some of the quarterback contain because it just Timmy McClain was running on every play. Like, it was a broken record. Dude was going to get out of the pocket. So, but the injuries for sure played a role. Not having Keenan Pille, I think, really hurt. Van Bywater, who took that starting job for him, led the team in tackles, I think, with eight tackles. So he was great. But, man, 19 play drives. When you're giving up, they were 4 or 5 on fourth down.
Yeah. Which,
like, they could knock it off the field. This is a concern. This is a concern because Utah State's better than this. Utah State's wide receiver has the most, I think, receiving yards in the country. The guy who was, I can't remember his name, he was in the portal and then. So if you can't get off the field, there's going to be, like, this could come back to get you. So I'm really worried about that defensively because it was, man, it was not good tonight against South Florida.
It wasn't. And they were digging deep into that depth. You saw Gabe Summers go down for a little bit. Uriah Leotau, Lopa Leotau, he went out with what appeared to be an arm injury again, the same arm that was being looked at against Arizona in week one. So many guys got banged up. Harris LeChance on the offensive side, he goes down. Campbell Barrington steps in. BYU had to dig into their depth. I don't think a few years ago they don't win this game.
No.
And I think that's another testament to the progress in the program, and that's another positive thing. But, yeah, this thing, it showed that BYU's second and third units can be exposed at times. And I think also this was a game when BYU gets up 21-0 after the first quarter. Maybe some of the players mentally just thought it's in the bag. You don't want to think that. I think they said all the right things in the post game, but at the same time, I think human nature comes in. I thought this is in the bag. BYU's going to roll with this thing. USF is worse than I thought. BYU's going to roll. And, you know, credit to USF. Timmy McClain, best quarterback they've had, I think, since the growthy B.J. Daniels stretch when they were actually halfway decent in the Big East Conference era. He's a good quarterback, true freshman. He's going to be something they can build off of at USF going forward. Don't get it twisted, though. That's not going to be a team that's going to win many games. No. Like I said, after Arizona, when people were saying, oh, they're a much better team than we thought. They've overhauled their roster. No, Arizona's still horrendous. But USF, credit to them for sticking with it, grinding, and making BYU work. And the nice thing, Matt, is that BYU is undefeated, and they still haven't come anywhere close to playing a perfect game. Last year at this time through 4-0, you could have said there's two games that were perfect.
Yeah.
This year, there hasn't been anything close to that. So that's reason, I think, for excitement that you can still – there's still some more notches kind of to go up the ladder, if you will, with this BYU offense and defense and special teams.
Devil's advocate to that, though, would be like this is supposed to be the night where you put it all, like you're running out of chances before you get into another part of the schedule where it gets really hard. And it's like, really, there's next Friday.
Yep.
And then you're back to playing hard games for four consecutive weeks. So next Friday's the week where they got to put together. And I just think there's too many injuries. Like, I don't know when BYU is going to put together a full game because the opponents are much tougher than last year and injuries are piling up.
Yeah, BYU, too, is – I think there were some parallels to this game to last year against UTSA, though. Like last year, fourth game, ranked number 15. You're a huge favorite, and then you only win by one possession. And the same narrative out of that UTSA game happened tonight against USF where Kalani said, hey, I had to remind the guys we won the game. Keep right. your head up. It was literally, I was having flashbacks to what transpired last year against UTSA. And by the way, UTSA is not a bad football team. They're undefeated this year. But still, BYU has got to get better. I think it's going to be tricky, Matt, how when you look at this team, they don't have a bye until November 13th.
Yeah.
And that will be tough. And I saw how many guys were getting banged up tonight. And you're thinking, you know, I like some of these John Nilsons. I like the Blake Mangelsons. The guys have got a ton of reps, and they're going to become studs in the future. But you're going to be asking a lot of these guys when you got back-to-back rivalry games and then three straight P5s to end the month of October. This is a huge stretch coming up for BYU.
And that's why this is kind of a disappointing outcome, because I wanted to touch into the depth, but yeah. not because of injury.
Like, right.
I wanted to see Jacob Conover play the fourth quarter. I wanted to see Jackson McChesney and Falau Rapati, and I wanted to see more Keanu Hill and some defensive guys, and that didn't happen. So I feel like I've talked a lot about the bad. There has been some good that came out of this game defensively, I think. And for me, Pepe Tuanivasa has proven through the last 2 weeks that he needs to see the field. And I don't know what you do with him, because like with Tyler Batty injured, he kind of has to fill that role. But I kind of wonder if he needs to be re-cross-trained at Mike linebacker.
Hmm.
Because he had a play where he was able to keep contain on Timmy McClain and brought him down for a loss.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's some good side-to-side athleticism. That could be useful at the Mike linebacker. And look, Ben Bywater did a good job in that role. He led the team in tackles. It's just none of the three linebackers on the field are like run stuffer heavier guys.
Yeah, if you're trying to think of what's you're going to get the most out of their potential, what spot represents that? I think for Ben Bywater, it's like that rover spot that he played against Arizona. That's what I look at too. So yeah, I see your point there, and I like that thought with Pepe. And it's refreshing though with Pepe Tuanivasa, the reports out of fall camp, they are actually playing out on the field.
Because yes.
sometimes, let's face it, we buy into some stuff just like anyone else. Hey, we're hearing this buzz. We're hearing this about yep. this guy. And then you get into the season and go, that guy didn't do anything in the entire season. Pepe was a name we were hearing in spring and fall camp. And even Preston Halley told us, hey, watch out for Pepe. He's going to be awesome this year. And he's been playing some great ball. Also, another defensive position switch. We did see at linebacker was Chaz Ayu. He moved up into the box more. And Chaz talked a little bit about that on Cougar Tracks this week. So go check that out, weekly interviews with Chaz. But he, I think he's best suited at safety,
Me
in my
too.
Opinion.
Yep.
But, you know, in a pinch, you got to get creative and switch things up. Chaz steps in there. Ammon Hanneman gets the start at safety. Thought he did a pretty nice job. I think Ammon's been one of the more improved guys in the safety room, because we heard a lot in fall camp about guys like Mitchell Price, Ethan Slade, if you want to dig into the roster a little bit deeper. But Ammon Hanneman did a nice job. Good bloodlines there in the Hanneman family.
Yeah. So no complaints. You know who also did a nice job? I think he got banged up. Like, so many injuries. Caleb Hayes.
Yes.
Against Arizona State, I felt like he was getting picked on. And it was like, dude, not ready. He got the start tonight. And I thought he played well. Like, he had a couple PBUs. Like, Caleb Hayes showed well. But really, at the end of the day, like, this is going to keep happening to this defense, Mitch, unless they get some guys back on the field. Like,
yep.
it's – you cannot be down four, five, six starter. Starter is such a weird term with defense these days, because
yep.
there's really, like, 19 starters because there's so many different packages and players.
Yes.
But, like, you can't be down a third of your starting players defensively and be a great defense. Like, what we saw against Utah, this is just not the same unit as what we saw in the Utah game. If they don't get some guys back, I'm concerned. And then the flip side is, though, to come bring it all the way back to quarterback, because I forgot this. Look, it's late. We're sipping on Cokes. We're eating cookies, sipping on Cokes. We're snacking on leftover candy in the BYU coach's box here on the late night pod just to keep us going. But my final thought on Baylor, I don't know if how much more time we want to spend on this, but coming into this game, I thought Baylor can win you some games, but like, you can't have a special year with Baylor. And I walk out of this game feeling like you can have a special year with Baylor.
Yeah.
Like, Baylor's not going to stop you
yeah.
from having a special season. What's going to stop you is the injuries and the defense. Because this offense, Tyler Allgeier is legit. The offensive line didn't miss a beat when Harris LeChance went out. Wide receivers are fantastic. They're really good. Tight ends aren't even getting used, but they're good. I'm like, Baylor's not going to hold you back. What's going to hold yep. you back is the defense. And unfortunately, that has to do with injury.
And what was exciting, too, with Baylor is that the playbook, from what it looked like, the play calling, it did not change at all. I thought it got ramped up, where it was more aggressive than yep. what we've seen in previous weeks. Again, the competition has to be factored in. But, yeah, Baylor is not going to hurt BYU's chances to potentially win 10, 11 games. I still think 10 wins is doable with this team.
Yes.
Because you look at everything that's going on with this schedule – teams like Virginia, teams like USC are not as good as we initially thought coming into the season. And BYU has the chance in front of them to win a lot of ball games. But this next month, if they can't get healthy, that's going to be tough. It was promising, though, to see coming into the pregame today, seeing Keenan Ellis with the team. He was around, didn't dress tonight, but he's around the team. That was the first time he's been back with the group. Saw Jacques Wilson, a guy from quarterback. He got some actual game reps. So giving some game reps to some of these guys, they will have to be used, and you want to get some of these bodies back. It's going to be critical for BYU. You mentioned the O-line, too, the injuries there with Harris LeChance. Campbell Barrington steps in. I remember we talked – I had flashbacks to when we talked with Brady Christensen, and he said, keep an eye on Campbell Barrington. He's a stud, and he was getting tested out at guard in fall camp, and it was like, Brady Christensen saying a guy's going to be a stud at offensive tackle. Should they play him at offensive tackle? And sure enough, he's playing at right tackle now, and I think he's got a huge, huge ceiling. Him and Clark Barrington, those guys are studs, and it's amazing to think because they were completely under-the-radar recruits, and they're big-time talents. Hopefully Harris LeChance can get healthy. Hopefully Mason Wake. We got to see some more hurdles, baby. You got to get out of that boot. We saw you walking off the field tonight. Hopefully he can get healthy and rock those Pit Viper shades. By the way, you like those?
No.
The players rocking the Pit Vipers? Pit Viper hooked the team up this past 2 weeks with a big deal.
I don't hate it on them, but I can't pull that look. I can't do it. And I think we've talked about this before. I'm all in on Maui Jim, man. I don't remember who told me, but like ever since I've had a pair of Maui Jims, I can't put anything else in my face other than Maui Jims.
So you're like Bill Walton at those like Maui Invitationals.
Oh,
oh
yeah.
The Maui
Jim, man.
I'm
wearing the floral shirts and some Maui Jims.
The Maui Jim Invitational. It's Matt Biamonte. What's your name again?
Yes. From the majestic mountains on the Wasatch Front. From the Joshua Tree all the way up I-15. Provo.
It's 1:12 a.m. Give us a break.
Hey, one more thought on injuries.
Yes.
Next week is critical. Obviously, because you have to win the game if you want to be special. But there's an opportunity if you take care of biz that you get an extra day of rest before a home game. I think if you can win that game soundly and maybe rest a couple people in the fourth quarter, maybe I'm not giving Utah State enough credit. They got waxed today by Boise State. Now, they did gain a bunch of yards, but they only scored 3 points. So I just feel like when you don't have a bye week, you got to maximize these opportunities. And there is an opportunity next week, Mitch, to get out of Logan on a Friday night and then rest with General Conference. And so I think that's that kind of window where you look at and you say, hey, you got to win this game, but you got to win it convincingly so you can get some rest before the next stretch.
The nice thing, too, about this schedule that's been fun, that you know this game today compared to last year, people would have been devastated. But I feel like with this year's schedule, if you talk about maybe New Year's Six aspirations, this isn't devastating tonight. If you go to Logan and win a grinded-out 20-17 game, which it could be with all the injuries, it doesn't hurt you because you're going to play seven Power Fives. And as we know, with the playoff committee and how they view things, it's all about brands. It's all about recognition. And no longer is it just simply, oh, BYU's got to get all these style points. You haven't heard that once this year. Last year, it was every week, Kalani's got to probably run it up on these teams because they need the style points. This is a year where, because of the schedule and some of the name recognition on the schedule,
yep.
BYU just got to get wins. They just got to find a way to grind along and get those wins. I still don't know truly how good this BYU team is, but I feel like because of the schedule, how it's setting up, it's conducive to 10-plus wins.
Yes.
And I think there's enough talent at the key spots because you got to have a trigger man that can make it go. And they've got two of them in Jaron Hall and Baylor Romney. And I think if they needed to ever turn to Jacob Conover, he could be pretty dang good too. So BYU's in a good spot. Despite some of the injuries, they're going to be okay. They're going to have more talent than Utah State. When you get up to Logan, you get to the Cache Valley, that fan base is going to be rocking. It's going to be a sellout crowd. They're going to be hyped for that one. I mean, trying to book a hotel up there was like – $300 for a Super 8. I'm like, I'm probably going to make that late night drive and just come home from the Cache Valley because I'm not spending $300 at a Super 8 in Logan, please.
You should spend $100, rent a Tesla, and then put an autopilot on the way home. Just
fall asleep?
No. You don't fall asleep, but just make it a drive a little more comfortable knowing that there's some driver assistance.
Yeah, I need to get a Tesla. You know what? I need to get like Alex. See what he's riding these days?
The e-tron.
Yeah, that thing
so,
is nice.
I'll never tell Alex this, so I hope he doesn't listen to our late night pod. E-tron ain't worth it, man.
Like, what? That thing was solid, bro.
I've been in the e-tron. Have you?
I hopped in and I felt like I was completely outclassed.
The e-tron has tremendous class.
I'm driving a Jeep Rubicon right now that's bright red. It's my mother-in-law's right now because my van is broke down.
The e-tron has tremendous class. The bells and whistles are phenomenal, but it doesn't deliver on the most important aspects of an electric vehicle. The range is low. Like, my Model 3 has more range than his e-tron.
Hmm.
And like when you get the e-tron, it feels nicer than a Model 3.
I just thought that Audi looked pretty sharp, man. I like the look.
It certainly does, but when you don't have great range, you're not taking it to Cache Valley. Because then you don't know where you're charging, which is another problem with the e-tron because the charging network's not great. And then the third thing is the driver assistance. No autopilot.
Hey, but here's the thing. Is the founder of Audi, is he recently going through a divorce? I don't think so. He doesn't have a SpaceX.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I'll see myself out.
Unbelievable.
I will see myself out.
I was not prepared for this commentary in the pod.
It's USF week. This is the one week that affords us the space on Twitter spaces, on podcast spaces. The one week that we can afford to go off the grid. And that's what we did with this Tesla rant.
I'm off the grid every day I get in the car, man. No gas. No. Should we wrap up with a few just random news and observations?
Some nuggets.
Here's one. UCF's – or US – why do I keep saying UCFs? I'm already getting ready for the Big 12. USF's helmets. Really cool.
Yes.
But did you notice that the shade of green on their helmets did not match their uniforms?
Yes, I did notice
not
that.
Not cool. Because it was like bright neon green on the helmet.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just their typical golden green on the jerseys.
Wow. Yeah, that is – we are very weird because I noticed the same thing. We love our swag. That's interesting.
The helmet was popping.
Here's
and
another
it looked
thing.
Horrible on the uniform.
Here's another thing that stood out. I got to go watch it on the DVR. From the press box TVs, and for those of you listening right now, and if you're listening on podcast, tweet at us. Am I not mistaken, but did the cameras look better tonight on ESPN2? Did the cameras look like they were a little more sharp, a little more crisp? Because last week against ASU, those things were blurry as all get out, man. And even someone tweeted at me from BYU TV, a former BYU TV employee, and gave me the rundown. I've reached out to ESPN to actually get a comment on this because I wanted – I'm like, the TV viewing experience has been putrid for BYU. I wanted a statement, and apparently from what I've gathered, it's the signal from the trucks from ESPN paired with the cameras are paired down to like 720p. So that's why you're seeing kind of these blurry, not crisp viewing experiences. Honestly, next week on CBS Sports Network, it'll probably be the best viewing experience to date for BYU because CBS Sports Network is actually a pretty good broadcast. But anyway, that's
that is interesting.
That is a that's a deep cut. But I thought on looking at it on the press box TVs, watching some of the replays, it looked a little better than what I had seen on DVR in the previous weeks. But I'll have to go home and watch it on replay on Sunday.
That is very interesting. We walked on the field. We did our KSL Sports video recap on the field. Field is beat up. That thing needs a break.
Yes,
three
it does.
Grueling weeks on the field. And one question for you about the field. Love the field. I love that it's grass. You got to fill in the end zones, though, right? Don't you think?
Yes. Yes.
I don't care if it kills the grass.
Yep. You got to fill them in. I would love to see. I like the BYU design. I think this look, though, is a little plain. I think you got to.
I like the BYU in one, Cougars in another,
okay.
and fill it with a color.
I would like BYU in the entire end zone. Like, use up the whole space. I don't know how you.
How do you do that, though?
Might get really stretched. I don't know. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe you go with some diamond look, like the diamond look that they did in 2019. I think that would be pretty nice. But, yeah, the field is pretty rough right now. So the grounds crew, you got your work cut out. But, hey, you're going to get a little bit of a break. Boise State doesn't come into town until October 9th. So hopefully you can get this thing dialed in. Because that storming the field a couple weeks ago, too, did not do it any favors.
That's
because that thing
point.
Got
and they,
rough
and they lingered.
Up. Yes.
They lingered on the field.
And rightfully so. First time beating Utah in 12 years. Celebrate that thing. But it got beat up to shreds from that storming the field, and I think it just hasn't fully recovered since then. So get a little bit of a break. Go tear up the Maverick Field up in the Cache Valley, potentially.
You can't tear that thing up. It's turf.
I know. It's the field turf. They got a pretty nice field up at Utah State, but looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be up there up in the Cache Valley, and this has been a lot of fun, this podcast. Yeah. BYU gets it done over South Florida, 35-27. The Cougars take down the Bulls. They're 4-0. We'll find out on Sunday, later today, what their ranking will be real quick. Do you think they move up? Do you think they move down?
I think they move up a spot
yeah.
because two top 10 teams lost. Like, you can't put Clemson in front of BYU.
No.
You can't. So I think they do move up a spot because they're 4-0, man.
Yeah.
They last time I checked, they still have 3 wins over Power 5 teams.
Yeah,
so.
And I think they go to 14. I think they go to 14-2. Maybe on a high end, you get someone that.
Here's the thing, though. If you move up a spot for the next, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 weeks, next thing you know,
yeah.
you're knocking at 6.
Yep. Just keep. That sounds like, oh, only one spot. Like, that's. Hey, you did. The damage you did last week was perfect. Move up 8 spots in 1 week. That's unheard of.
Yep.
And you chip at it every single week. Move up 1 spot here, 1 spot there. Yeah, you'll find yourself around the 4, 5, 6 range, potentially. Playoff ultimately is what matters the most, the rankings. But the AP poll definitely goes a long way in terms of historical value. But, again, that'll do it for this edition of the Cougar Sports Saturday Cougar Tracks post-game podcast. Appreciate all of you listening live on Twitter Spaces. We'll have to do that again. That was a lot of fun this week. And you can download this podcast and subscribe on Apple, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, and download the KSL Sports app presented by University Federal Credit Union. We'll talk to you next week on Cougar Sports Saturday, not live on News Radio because General Conference, but we will have post-game recap, a bunch of content, and we'll get you ready for BYU and Utah State. So talk to you then here on Cougar Sports Saturday and Cougar Tracks.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.